shared a great message on God as reconciliation, and it started to set off in my mind some thoughts about the next thing that God would ask me to share with us as a church. And it's around God's character and nature. You know, we're doing this series of God is. God is, we've talked about God is love, God is grace, all these different things. But today God took me back to this other character trait, and I don't know if I've ever preached a message on this, and maybe I should have years long before, because it's really challenged me and encouraged me in my own walk. But I was reminded of the names of God. I know a few weeks ago Julie shared Jehovah Jireh, remember that? The Lord who provides. And God reminded me of one of his Jehovah names. And in that reminder, I was reminded of the importance of names to the Jewish culture. People were named, given names to literally form their character. So you had a person like Jacob, who was, his name means supplanter or schemer, that type of thing. And all his life he lived as that type of person, one who schemed and manipulated to get what he needed, until he met with God one day. And he wrestled with God, and God transformed him and changed his name to Israel, Prince of Men. And in the same way, the names of God for the Jewish people were very, very significant and important. And the name I want to share with you today is first found in Judges 6, 24, 23 and 24 in the story of Gideon. And God comes to Gideon and says, "The Lord said to him, 'Peace. Don't be afraid. You are not going to die.'" And then it says, "So Gideon built an altar to the Lord and called it 'The Lord is Peace.'" Now that name, "The Lord is Peace," is literally translated in the Jewish language as Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom. Remember when we talk about God's character and nature and who God is? That means that God doesn't just bring peace or give peace, but peace is who God is. He can't be anything but peace to us. And so in our story, in this story of Gideon, God enters Gideon's life in a time where there was no peace in the land of Israel. It was a difficult time. If we go back a few verses before this, we read the account of what the Israelites were living in. It says, "The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds." Now remember, a few years earlier, they had entered this land as the promised land, the land of milk and honey. And now just a few years later, they've resorted to living in caves to hide from their enemies. The oppression was so great that whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. And they camped on the ground and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza, and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them and their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. So imagine this. For most of the year, you would do your thing. You'd plant your crops. You'd try to do everything you needed to survive. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, when your crops are just about ready to pick and about, you're thinking, "I'm going to have a good year this year," thousands of these people would come through and just ravage the land. They'd take everything you had, but not even do that. They'd destroy everything else in their wake. Does that sound peaceful to you? Is that a peaceful existence? And it's into this space that God comes to Gideon and introduces himself to Gideon as peace. Into this turmoil and this difficulty. Letting Gideon know in this situation that he is peace. And this is the thing. In our verse that I read before, after God reveals himself to Gideon, Gideon makes this altar declaring that God is Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. Think about this for a moment. Has anything changed in his environment at that point? Peace has not come yet. It's not like God has brought peace and then Gideon sets up an altar to God and says, oh, God has brought peace to us. Amen. Isn't this wonderful? No. Before peace has even arrived externally, Gideon says, my God is peace. In that place, he understood this idea of shalom. He acknowledges that God is with him. And that is what brings him peace. Even though nothing has changed outside of his circumstances, he's still hiding from the Midianites, he's still doing all these things. But God is with him. And so his perspective has changed to one of peace. So what is the significance of shalom? It's a very popular Jewish word that we've probably all heard. You probably heard people say to you, shalom, or peace be with you type of thing. But the depth of its meaning cannot really be translated in the English language. We try to use the word peace, but it doesn't really explain the depth or the richness of what shalom really means. You actually need to use a whole lot of words to explain what shalom means. Things like the idea of shalom is the thought of completeness, that it's a place where you are complete, where you are fulfilled. It's a place where there is wholeness and harmony in your life, where everything seems to just be sitting right. So when God comes to Gideon and declares he is peace, he is declaring to Gideon that there is harmony between you and I. You read in our passage that the Israelites did evil in the Lord's eyes, and so they didn't have peace. But in this moment when God comes to Gideon, he says, I bring peace. I am peace. This is who I am. And so there's a sense in it of well-being. But not just, you know, we talk about well-being these days and we think of being, you know, healthy and well, but it's a holistic well-being, shalom. It's not just your body that's well, it's your mind and your emotions and also your spirit that is well. And this is what God is introducing himself to Gideon as, that I am your well-being. I am the one who brings stillness to your life. I am the one who brings security and balance to your life. There's a beautiful picture of shalom in Isaiah 48:18, where God says to them, oh, that you had paid attention to my commandments. And then he says these amazing words, then your peace, which is shalom, translated shalom, would have been like a river. So shalom is like a river. What does a river represent? Well, in those times, and even as 200 years ago, when they established Adelaide here in South Australia, what did they look for as a good place to plant their city? They looked for water. They looked for a river, a flowing river with flowing water. And so the idea of it is that the shalom that God is to us is this idea that he is everything we need. He is our completeness, that when there is flowing river water, we have all that we need to survive. Where there is enough for us to not just survive, but then to thrive and plant crops and do things and grow and do amazing things. And this is the picture of shalom. It's this picture of a river that we can gain sustenance from at any moment, that keeps us, that balances us, that is always there for us. We also understand that shalom, the Jewish people, it meant so much to them that they would use it as a greeting for meeting each other and saying goodbye, that idea of peace be with you, that your well-being would be good, that your relationship, your harmony with God would be right. And we sing this song, and we love singing it, but the song, The Blessing, is the priestly sort of benediction for the children of Israel, encouraging them, but it finishes with that idea. If you read it in Numbers 6, it finishes with that idea of God giving us peace. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. Do you want me to sing it for you? No, there was a no. That's one no is enough. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and what? And give you peace. Give you shalom. That would be the pinnacle of your life. That the ultimate goal would be to have shalom. To have God's favor and God's presence in your life. That a peaceful life. That you'd have this type of fulfilled and complete life. But it wasn't just about life here on earth. It wasn't just about that being the most important thing. Because in our modern Western mindset, our thinking, when we think of peace, the first thing that comes into your mind is what? No conflict. The ending of conflict. The cessation of hostilities. We celebrate the end of the war every year on Remembrance Day, that type of thing, where we have this desire that we'd be in this place where there is no trouble or problems or doubt, you know, that nirvana. We want this utopia, this nirvana. If my life would just be good if I didn't have any trouble. And that is the type of peace that the world strives for, isn't that right? We strive for that. But the peace that God is talking about, the shalom that he is declaring to Gideon, has nothing to do with the state of your external circumstances. When God comes to Gideon and declares shalom, it's not like in that moment God declares shalom and all of a sudden the Midianites disappear and there's no more trouble in the land. Now Gideon had to still work towards God setting them free. So shalom is not about what is happening around you. Shalom is not about not having troubles. The reality is real peace, real inner peace comes from Jehovah Shalom. And shalom is the inner work of grace in our lives where we come to truly know God as Jehovah Shalom. That we would know him as Jehovah Shalom. You see, when Gideon creates this altar to God who is Jehovah Shalom, what he is declaring to everyone around him, what he is acknowledging, what he is saying to everyone is this simple thought. Is that shalom is not a place you arrive, is not a place you come to, but shalom is a person that you get to know. He is declaring to us thousands of years ago that peace is a person. So that means that there is a peace that you can have and can experience through a relationship with God that is beyond anything that has anything to do with what's going on around you. God wants you to experience a peace that it doesn't matter the troubles that you might encounter. There is something that God is with you and in you that gives you a peace to allow you to keep walking, to keep moving, to keep living. As the benediction we read there is that this shalom, this peace, can only come from God. Shalom cannot be found anywhere else but in God himself, because he is shalom. Guess what? And this might come as a shock to you, but you won't find shalom in your relationships with each other. As some people think, if only I have a husband or a wife, or if only I have relationships with the right people, then I will have peace in my life. That's not where you'll find shalom. You won't find shalom in a career either. Some people, you read stories of people so often, they worked hard all their life, and at the end of their work life, they go, what was the point of all of that? I still don't have shalom. I still don't have peace. There's still this emptiness inside of me. Education, as good as it is and important as it is, it will not give you shalom. You can know everything there is to know in the world, but it will not give you shalom. It will not give you peace. And something I had to learn a few years ago when we planted this church is ministry won't even give you shalom. Serving God will not give you shalom, will not give you peace. The answer is not found in these things. Because real peace, shalom, the peace of God, can only come from God himself. And this is the thing. Real peace was planned for us long in eternity, long past in eternity. And it was planned for us in the form of Jesus. And the picture of Gideon meeting God as peace was a glimpse for us into the plan that God has to send Shalom himself, Jesus, Jehovah Shalom, to save us and to bring us shalom between us and God. You see, shalom is the peace that God gives us through Jesus that lets us know that our sins are forgiven and will never be remembered. That is the shalom that Jesus has come to give us. Shalom is the peace that God gives us through Jesus that lets us know that if we put our faith in Jesus, as the word says, he will give us power to be the children of God. That is the shalom that God wants you to build your life upon. And the shalom is the peace that comes from God through Jesus that tells us that if we believe in Jesus, we will not perish, but we will have everlasting life. The shalom of eternal security with God. That we are right with God because of Jesus. This is this idea of Jesus being the fulfillment of God's peace is told to us in Isaiah, or prophesied to us in Isaiah 9:6. Hundreds of years before Jesus even came, the prophecy was made, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Counselor, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father," and what? Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. This is prophesying Jesus, the Prince who brings peace, who is peace. And the incredible thing about this passage, if you read it, and it says, "And the government will be on his shoulders." That tells me that he is carrying the full weight of rule of the world upon himself. Think about that for a moment. Think about your problems and your struggles and your troubles that you're carrying, trying to carry yourself. And God's saying, "I'm putting the full weight of everything on his shoulders." Why wouldn't we be able to put the full weight of all our problems, troubles, and worries on his shoulders as well? That's why he says to us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Put your weights upon me, put your troubles on me, and I'll give you peace." This is what Jesus tells us, and it's why he wants us to understand that he wants to give us shalom, but we need to give everything to him. We need to lay it on his shoulders. Isaiah 53 verse 5 tells us about how he carries our weight, but how he did it and how he exchanged our punishment for his peace. Where it says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us," what? What is that? Shalom. "Was on him. And by his wounds we are healed." So Jesus' punishment on Calvary, on the cross of Calvary, has given us now access to God and to peace with God. There is no longer, the Bible tells us, there is no longer enmity between us and God. We are no longer enemies of God. The truth was, we were enemies of God and we deserved punishment. But Jesus, the Prince of Peace, Jesus, Jehovah Shalom, came and took our punishment. Why? So that we could receive peace. Peace with God. He experienced it all. Jesus took it all on himself, the full weight of our punishment, so that we could experience the full weight of God's peace in our life. Jehovah Shalom, Jesus. Remember, peace is not an existence, it's a person. So how do we access this peace in our lives? How can we have this peace in our lives? And I just want to share with you three very simple, easy things. This is not complicated. God doesn't make it hard, but it is hard. But that's all right, because anything of value is worth giving your all for. And so the first way we can access shalom, the peace of God, is number one, by trusting God. And you go, well, that's pretty simple. But what I'm trying to say is by actually trusting God. I'm talking to myself as much as I'm talking to you. Because there's been times in my life where I have not and still do not fully grasp the extent of shalom that God wants me to have. And I know it's because I don't trust God like I should. I don't believe in him like I should. I don't grasp hold of him as fully as I should. And in Isaiah, again, it says, God says to, well, it's talking of God, you, God, will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. And I'm going to read this to you from the Amplified, because it just expands on it really powerfully. And we even sang about it this morning. But it says, you will keep in perfect and constant peace. Who would love constant peace in their life? I want that. The one whose mind is steadfast, that is, committed and focused on you, on God, in both inclination and character. So what does that mean? It basically means that your mind is focused on God in both your actions and who you are. That your life is totally focused on God, and it affects not just what you do, but who you actually are. And then it says, because, talking about us, talking about humankind, he trusts and takes refuge in you. So this idea right there is that we can have this perfect and constant peace when we actually trust. And what's the second part? Take refuge in God. That beautiful picture that Linda gave us of God's eagle's wings that we can find cover and refuge under. That beautiful picture of that place that God wants to have us in. We're under his wings. We can find protection. We can find safety. We can find comfort. We can find our potential, our place, knowing that he is covering us with everything that he has. This is the peace. This is the shalom that God wants. But to have that, we need to trust and believe that God is who he says he is. That if God says he is peace, that he is peace, then as we draw close to him, take refuge in him, believe in that, and as we get to know him, we will begin to experience the reality of that shalom, that peace, as we draw close to him. Which brings us to the next way we access shalom, the Bible teaches us, is by prayer. There's no shortcuts. Connecting with God through prayer is basically what we mean by having relationship with God. And there's no greater way it's explained than in Philippians 4, 8 and 9. And we read this verse over and over again, but it's the reality of what God wants to do in our lives. Paul says here, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How do we have shalom? By drawing close to God. How do we know that God is peace? By getting to know Him. And how do we get to know Him? We get to know Him through His word and through prayer. By drawing close to Him in prayer and bringing all our needs to Him. Casting all our cares upon Him because He cares for us. Casting it and giving it to Him and saying, God, I bring you everything I have. I keep bringing it to you because you are my peace. You are the peace that transcends all understanding. You are all that I need. See, prayer is all about relationship. And when we pray, we begin to discover who God is and we know God and we get that sense of His hand upon our lives. And there's a really, and it might seem a little bit corny, but I just couldn't get it out of my head, so I included it in this. But a very simple idea that no God, no peace. But if you know God, you know peace. You will never find peace without God. It's simple, it's a bit corny, but it's true. There is truth in it. And if that is the only thing that sticks in your head today, that's okay. Because if we want to know peace, we do it by knowing God. And how do we know God? We know God through prayer. We know God through His word. We know God through prayer. Reading His word is prayer. When you sit down and read your Bible, it's an act of prayer just as much as it is bringing your petitions. So knowing God will bring peace. The last way that we access God's peace is by practicing peace. Jesus has called us not to just experience shalom for ourselves. He has given us shalom with Him, this sense of completeness and wholeness. He's given us that to us so that we can share it with others. So we can share it with the world that we live in. Jesus said it very clearly, blessed are the peacemakers in Matthew 5:9. Why? For they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And this is what we're called. When we have shalom in our lives, we're called to share it with those around us, to cultivate it in others' lives, to make peace in whatever way we can. The spirit of peace, when exercised in our daily lives, has the power to turn evil to good. Let me give you one example of that. A story in the Bible of Joseph. If you know Joseph's story, he was the youngest at that time of Jacob's sons, and he was sold off to slavery by his brothers. His brothers didn't like him, didn't like the fact that he had this dream that they would all bow down to him one day, and so they sold him off to slaves. They were actually going to kill him, but they had the sense to know that's better not do that, so they sold him off as slave. He was taken to Egypt, and he went through all sorts of trouble and turmoil. He rose up, and then he got put in jail, got accused of being inappropriate with his master's wife and all this stuff. And in jail, he then answers these dreams of the Pharaoh, and he gets made prime minister of Egypt. And in that time, there came a drought, and the children of Israel, of children of Jacob, came to get help from Egypt. And lo and behold, Joseph's brothers come to him for help. And so he has a moment there where he has the power now, he has all the power, and he has the ability then to actually punish them for what they did to him. But he says these powerful words, what the enemy meant for evil, God has turned around for good. That is shalom. That is peacemaking. That God, whatever is going on in your life right now, is not the thing that defines peace, but who God is in your life right now is what defines peace. And as you trust him, obey him, and practice what he teaches you by being a peacemaker, you will experience the fullness of the shalom that he has for you, the peace that he has for you. I want to close with one last story. And it's the story of the Ten Boom family. Many of you would know this story. Corrie Ten Boom and her family were a Dutch family who were in the Second World War. And if you, I would encourage you, if you ever get a chance, it's a Christian classic, The Hiding Place, the book is called. It's worth reading. If you want to know what shalom looks like in everyday life, what how it works and what is possible to have in your own life, look at this story because it will blow your mind. But this idea is, or the story goes that during the Second World War, they lived in the Netherlands. And during the Second World War, they began to see the Jews starting to be rounded up and taken to concentration camps. And they could not stand by and not do anything. And so they began to harbour Jews in their house and hide them in their house and get the, and make a way for them to escape. And so this is the idea that they were peacemakers. They were ones who would, they saw this trouble that was going on and they thought, how can we help these who are doing it, who are going through this terrible stuff? And sadly, one of their neighbours betrayed them to the Nazis. And the story actually goes that it was actually on December 16th, 1944. For those of us who are old enough, we'd know that that is less than a year before the war actually finished. So they'd been doing this for so long and making a difference to many Jews' lives. And then just before the end of the conflict, someone betrays them. And so Corrie Ten Boom's family, which is herself, her sister, they never married, and their elderly father were captured, arrested, and taken to a concentration camp. The father was put in one the men's side and the women were put in the other side. And within a few weeks, not long after they were arrested and put there, sadly their father passed away. And so these people who were doing good, peacemaking, loving God, were now in this absolute hell on earth. I couldn't think of anything worse than a concentration camp. Nothing worse. But if you read The Hiding Place and if you read the story of how they dealt with the absolute horror that was going on around them, it's that sense of shalom within them, that with God with them, it didn't matter what was going on around them, they were safe and secure and content and whole. And not long before the war, after months and months in the concentration, Corrie's sister passed away just before the war finished. And she survived it. And she survived it when the war finished and was allowed to leave. I think she was actually miraculously allowed to leave before the war finished, and they don't know why they let her free. But I just want to read to you some of her quotes, some of her statements that she makes throughout her life. She lived to an old age, but in them you see this amazing sense of shalom, of peace in her life, in spite of the turmoil that was going on around her. She says things like this. When people asked her how she coped with the experience, she says, when a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You sit still and trust the engineer. Who's the engineer? That when stuff's going crazy in our lives, we think, how can I get out of this? Sometimes we just need to sit still and trust that God is at work. If you look at the world, you'll get distressed. Amen? Who feels like that? If you look within, you'll get depressed. That's true too. But if you look at God, you'll be at rest. It's all about him, not about us. She says this about prayer. The wonderful thing about praying is that you leave a world of not being able to do something and enter God's realm where everything is possible. Incredible faith. I'll just read that again. This is powerful. The wonderful thing about praying is that you leave a world of not being able to do something and enter God's realm where everything is possible. He specializes in the impossible. Nothing is too great for his almighty power, and nothing is too small for his love. She also said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. God says, I am peace. I am Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. If we know him as peace, then we can trust our lives to him who is peace. The measure of a life, after all, is not its duration, but its donation. I like that. And the last one, in the center of a hurricane, there is absolute peace and quiet. There is no safer place than the center of the will of God. There is no safer place than the center of the will of God. She's discovering these things in the environment of a concentration camp, in the environment of the Holocaust. She's discovering shalom. You see, God's will is less about what's happening around us and much more about who we are being in what's happening around us. Our society these days has taught us that the pinnacle of success is having the best possible life you can have, where everything is wonderful. You've got plenty of money, you've got plenty of this and plenty of that, and all of these things. And the church has sold out to that. But the reality is, God's will is not that we'd have all of that. No, that's all nice. But God's will is that we would be with him and walk with him and have relationship with him and become more and more like his son Jesus. And the one thing we know Jesus had, and Jesus knew the Father better than any of us, is that we know he had peace. Because it was peace that drove him to a cross. It's that peace that allowed him to be scourged and mocked and beaten and killed. Because he knew he was in God's will. And so today I want to encourage us, in the same way as Jesus, in the same way as Corrie ten Boom and her family, to make a decision in our minds to trust God, to make a decision in our hearts to allow Jehovah Shalom, God is peace, Jesus, to be our anchor and our compass in every part of our lives. That we, in any time of trouble, that the first place we would run is not to a solution but to God. And ask God, what is it that's going on here? Help me, God, to understand how you would want me to respond. If you can remember anything from this message, I'd ask you to remember that peace is a person. Peace is a person. A person who wants to know you. He wants to become acquainted with you. He wants to have relationship with you, intimacy and closeness with you. Peace is that person who wants you to bring everything that is in your heart and mind to him and give it to him. Peace is that river, that person where you can gain your sustenance and everything you need from him. And peace is a person, can I say this? Peace is a person who is with us. Peace is a person who promises to be with us no matter what is going on in our lives. He's a person who wants to know us and us to know him, but he is also a person who will always be with us. No matter what you're going through today, peace, Jehovah Shalom, Jesus is with you. And his promise to us is that he will never leave us, nor forsake us. I just ask everyone to bow their heads as we pray. And I don't want to minimize anything that people are going through today, because I know there are people in this room who are going through big stuff, difficult stuff, troubling stuff. There's lots of trauma and stuff going on. And I don't want to minimize the pain that you feel, but I do want you to know that God is peace. And there is a peace you can know that is beyond all of that stuff. That even in that stuff, you can know a peace that will keep you safe and content and protected. Like Linda said, those arms, those wings that would cover us and protect us. But not just that, would also lift us up to places we never knew existed. So right now, as we just rest in that peace, I'd encourage you to draw near to God. Open your hearts to Him and say, God, and be honest. Say, it's not easy to trust you sometimes, God, with everything that's going on, but as much as I can, I just give it to you right now. Give you all my burdens, anxieties, and cares. I just need you in my life. I need your presence and your peace. I need to know shalom. Why don't you reach out to him right now? Take a moment right now. In this sense of God's peace in this place, reach out to him. I'm going to ask the ushers to start distributing the emblems if they can, because we're going to finish this morning's meeting with communion. I don't want to mess this place that people are in. You can keep your eyes closed. Just keep your focus on him. Keep your mind on him. But we're going to just share communion, because there's no greater expression of the peace that he has given us than the blood and the body that he gave for us, so that we could have peace with God. So as you hold those emblems in your hand, see them as shalom to you. God's fulfillment, God's completion. Jesus said those powerful and important words on the cross, it is finished. It is done. It is complete. Once and for all, he made us right with God, brought peace between us and God. That incredible gift. As you've received your emblems, let us stand. Can I encourage you today that as we partake, let's actually see the emblems as God's shalom, God's peace to us. Let's partake of his shalom. Let's take it into ourselves. Let's take it upon ourselves. Let's say to ourselves, shalom, peace be with me, as we eat and drink in Jesus' name.